my argument for ad traffic is that it is instant. I can run an ad and get eyeballs on that content today. So whether it be an article or a video on our social channel or an image or a lead magnet offer or webinar invitation or whatever it is, we can get eyeballs on it today by setting up a campaign, applying some sort of a budget to it, and running that to our target audience.
Welcome to the Influence and Scale podcast, where content creators, marketers, and entrepreneurs learn how to increase their influence and scale their business using content marketing. My name is Tyler Basu, and alongside my business partner, Chuck Anderson, we'll be sharing proven strategies to help you grow your audience, create great content, and generate more traffic, leads, and sales for your business. Thanks so much for joining us. Now let's dive in. Welcome, welcome. This is Tyler Basu. I'm here with Chuck Anderson. And today, by request, we are covering the topic of how to do paid advertising, how to set up your ad campaigns. If you're promoting your stuff, if you're trying to generate leads, get clients online. We've been setting up lead generation campaigns for clients. And so we've got some templates and stuff that help us calculate the budget required to jump into paid ads and the KPIs to keep an eye on and all that kind of stuff. So we're going to provide a bit of an overview of that today. And before we do, because there's often a debate between advertisers and media buyers and content creators, and we don't consider ourselves either or, what we're doing is kind of a hybrid of both. But I thought we could shed some light on the way that each of those types of people or types of marketers thinks, because there's validity in both ways, and there's validity in bringing them together. Chuck is definitely the ad guy, more of an ad guy than I am, and he's been in internet marketing for a couple of decades now. Sorry to date you there, Chuck, but a lot of that time spent running ads, and then I'm more of the content guy. Right, I've held the role of content creator, content manager, blogs, podcasts, webinars, courses, you name it. And Chuck has been he's set up paid ad campaigns on from as far back as Google AdWords, I think, might have been the first one that you ran ads on, but now more recently jumping into Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and other platforms. So I can speak from the side of a content creator. He can speak from the side of an advertiser. The argument for me as a content creator is that I want to create assets that live online, evergreen content that drives traffic for me. And so that when enough of those are published and bringing in traffic, I've got an audience that I don't have to pay for. I don't have to keep trading money to build the audience. I've got a bunch of articles and videos or podcasts, whatever the case is, bringing in the audience for me. I did that for Thinkific. In the 3 years that I worked there as content manager, I produced hundreds of pieces of content. And by the time I left that role, the blog was bringing in about 50,000 visitors a month, just on autopilot. This was not traffic that they had to pay for. And so if you compare that to what you spend to get a click, even at a buck a click, you could say that 50,000 visitors a month, that's 50 grand worth of value coming in every month. Because if you had to do paid advertising to get 50,000 visitors, you'd probably have to spend that 50 grand. So that's my argument as a content creator, is that I'm creating stuff that it's an asset that lives online. It brings in traffic and visitors and leads long after you've created that content in the first place. So that one day you reach a point where you don't have to do paid advertising if you don't want to. You certainly can, but you don't have to, because you've built your audience from content. The drawback of that approach is how long it takes to create enough content and have content that ranks in search engines and people are finding it on their own and building up that audience. That can take several years, right? It took me 3 years to get to those 50,000 visitors a month for my employer. Chuck, why don't you give us the argument for ads? How does strictly an ad person think that's not creating content? What's the argument for doing paid advertising?
Yeah, and I hope you're ready, because the gloves will definitely come off between ads people and content people. And really, they need to work together. I mean, you can't really have good ads without good content. And so there's a definite need for that. My argument for ad traffic is that it is instant. Mm-hmm. One of my frustrations over the couple of decades, as you say, is that organic traffic, let's say the traffic that we get from doing good search engine optimization, SEO on our content, and we're looking to get as high up in Google as we can. And, you know, when I published my first website in 1999, all you needed to do is put the keyword in a bunch of times and you could get reasonable traffic from Google very, very, very quickly. Fast forward to today, all the algorithm changes and all of that, and really favors quality content, really well-written content, substantial content that is there for the long term. So I'm a very impatient person. I want that traffic today. I want leads today. I don't want to wait 3, 4, 6 months, sometimes longer, depending on how competitive the niche is. So ad traffic, I can run an ad and get eyeballs on that content today. So whether it be an article or a cornerstone page on our website, or a video on our social channel, or an image, or a lead magnet offer, or webinar invitation, or whatever it is, we can get eyeballs on it today by setting up a campaign, applying some sort of a budget to it, and running that to our target audience. And so for the impatient people like me who want the traffic now, that's where the argument for running ad traffic comes in conjunction with publishing great content.
Yeah, no, you bring up a great point. With ads, you do get an instant return on investment. The risk, though, is that, you know, sometimes an ad platform gets more expensive to the point where you can't afford what it now costs on that platform to get a lead or to get a call, because it got too competitive and you're getting outbid. We've spoken to people that have had ad accounts shut down, even, right? Facebook did a recent cleanup of a bunch of ad accounts, and there were people that that was their only source of traffic, was their Facebook ads. And when their ad account gets shut down, that's it. Next day, no traffic. If you're doing content, those risks exist as well, especially if you're, you know, trying to game the system or trying to use some of the black hat techniques for SEO or whatever, and you're trying to get content to rank, and but you're not doing it with like a long-term approach in mind. You're doing it like for the quick win, and maybe a Google releases an update and all of a sudden you lose your ranking, and so your traffic's gone too. So there are risks in both worlds, of the content world and the ad world, the risk of having all your eggs in one basket, and then something happens and, you know, that you don't have control over, and then you lose that traffic that you were getting from either your ads or for your content. So to mitigate that risk, what we do when we're working with a client and their goal is leads, we bring both strategies together. It's kind of a hybrid approach where there's a certain amount of budget that's applied to growing their audience using content. And then there's a certain amount of budget that is spent retargeting that audience to get the leads and the calls in the calendar or whatever the goal is. We often have to do this in phases, because if somebody has no audience, rather than, you know, spending 6 months or a year creating content and then waiting until there's enough traffic to start pulling leads out of that audience, we can speed that up by spending money promoting that content like now. And Chuck, let's dive into some of the numbers, because especially with video content, the majority of people we're working with right now, they're all creating videos and we're promoting videos for them. And on Facebook, what we're taking a look at is like, what does it cost to get somebody to watch a video? So that we can figure out, based on what somebody's goals are, how many leads they want, how big of an audience do they actually need? So Chuck, walk us through the first phase. If somebody has no audience, starting from scratch, what are we doing with the content that they're creating?
So if you're starting from scratch and promoting your business for the first time using an ad campaign, the very first thing that you need to do is set your objective to generate a minimum viable audience. And what we mean by a minimum viable audience is a certain number of people that have watched, maybe not all the way through your video, but a significant portion of your video that indicates that they have interest in your topic, interest in you, interest in maybe even your services. And so you are making an investment into audience building. So the way we approach this is usually we will take video content, post that out on your Facebook page, and then run ad traffic to that video, get as many eyeballs on it as we can. And we're looking to generate an audience of about 1,500 to 2,000 people that have engaged with a certain amount of that video. Now, Facebook says that most people will decide whether or not to watch, keep watching a video in the first 5 to 8 seconds of that video. So you can take a look at, if you doubled that to, let's say, 15 seconds, that's your absolute minimum viable, which means that they kept watching the video because they liked you, they liked the topic. Maybe they didn't watch it all the way through, but they showed intent to keep watching. And then the longer the video is, that you can get into sort of your other sort of percentage breakdown, you know, audiences like 50% or 90% or 100%, but that minimum viable, people who watch 15 seconds or more of your videos, generate an audience of about 1,500 to 2,000 of those people, then you're going to be ready for perhaps some lead generation or whatever it is that you're going to promote next.
Yeah. And the reason why we want to get at least a few thousand people in that audience is because prior to that, if there's only a few hundred people in the audience, let's say, and then you try to turn on an ad where you're generating leads, maybe you're giving away a checklist or a free assessment or a webinar or something like that. The goal is to get leads. If you turn on a lead generation campaign and you target people that have watched your videos, if that audience is too small, you're not even going to be able to spend much money. You're going to burn through a budget for your lead generation so quickly, showing the same ad too many times to a small pool of people, that the whole thing just kind of falls apart. You know, like, you might pull out some leads for a couple of days and then that's it. You've exhausted that audience. So you have to keep the video views audience campaign, like, keep it on always. So there's always money being spent growing your audience. But don't even turn on the lead generation stuff until you have at least a few thousand people to target. Because the other thing is, only a small percentage of that audience is actually going to become a lead. A conservative benchmark is, like, you know, anywhere from 2 to 5%, let's say. So even if we took 5% of your audience from your content that's willing to, that's able to become a lead for your business, if your goal was 100 leads, well, you're going to need a few thousand people in the audience. That's like the next part of the campaign, right, Chuck? Is once the audience, once we feel like the audience is big enough, we can then turn on the ads where the goal is to generate leads. And we work through, like, based on the number of leads required to create a call in somebody's calendar or create a sale for their product or service. Like, we work backwards from, you know, what they're willing to spend to get a customer or a client. And that'll help guide, you know, how much we're spending on the lead generation campaign. But we need a budget that's growing the audience simultaneously, or we end up burning through the lead generation campaign burns through the audience pretty quickly if that audience isn't always growing. So Chuck, is there anything you want to mention in terms of the lead generation stuff? Like, how soon can we start turning that stuff on? What are some of the KPIs we're looking at, or what are some mistakes we can avoid there?
Yeah, well, as soon as you have that minimum viable audience, you can start to layer in that second campaign, which is now a lead generation campaign. A lot of people call it retargeting. And so now you're running that lead generation campaign and you're retargeting the video viewers. So if you have a few thousand people who've watched your videos and then you come along with this lead generation ad, now they're already familiar with you. They've seen you before. They've heard some of your content. They are much more likely to click on that and to convert into a lead. And we're seeing lead acquisition costs that are really low in comparison to what that same ad run to cold traffic has generated in the past. You know, one of the byproducts of what we were just talking about here is investing in video views first, lead generation second, is that you are creating a sustainable content stream and an audience that you can target. Now, something to keep in mind when you are approaching this, and you, and Tyler, you mentioned you know, an ROI calculator and in coming up with your ideal KPIs for, you know, what should a lead cost or what should an appointment cost and what is your acquisition cost for a customer. And those are absolutely vital to calculate, because you need to know where is your break-even point and then where are you profitable. Now, a mistake that gets made is that because we can get instant traffic with an ad, we also expect instant, I would say, compliance or compatibility or the ability to generate those leads at or better than the target KPI out of the gate. And this is where a lot of people kind of miss out on an opportunity, because in that first phase, like I said, you're investing in building an audience. And then you move into investing into getting that audience to convert into leads. One thing to bear in mind is that may not meet that target customer acquisition cost or that lead acquisition cost quite yet. That's where you need to move into another phase where now you're optimizing the mm-hmm. results that you're getting and bringing it in to where it can now meet or exceed that target. That's when you have a winning campaign, but it requires a commitment and I would say patience, because it could take you a month or two, maybe three, to really dial that in to a campaign that you can scale and grow and run for the long term.
Yeah, for sure. And Facebook has like so many data points on people that if you just, if you let its algorithm do its thing, it's very, very efficient. But if you're not spending enough, and if the audience isn't big enough for Facebook to do what it does best, then you're kind of setting yourself up for failure. So there needs to be room in the budget for growing a big enough audience that when you do your lead generation ads, you're not spending like $5 a day or $10 a day on that. Because I mean, what if your goal was you need 10 leads a day or 100 leads a day, and you're willing to, and a lead is worth $5 to you or $10 to you? Well, that's instantly putting your budget up to like hundreds of dollars per day, maybe even thousands per day. And if Facebook doesn't have a big enough of an audience to mine those leads from, then the whole thing falls apart. So there needs to be the proper planning in place for, okay, how many clients do you actually expect to get from a certain campaign? For you to get one client, how many calls does it take? For you to get one call, how many leads does it take? And then you work backwards from those numbers to design a campaign where there's room for that testing. It, you know, your first ad might not be the winning ad. You might have to create several versions of an ad. The first audience that you promoted your videos to might not be the best audience. Like, you may have to split test a couple of different audiences to promote your content to before you find the audience that really resonates with your stuff. Does that make sense, Chuck? Anything you want to add to that?
I mean, ultimately, you know, none of this happens overnight. And so again, I think approaching, it's good to come into it with a plan mm-hmm. and to know what your targets are. And to your point about audience is you need to start with some sort of an audience. So you're going to start there with, you know, interests, people who are maybe shopping your competitors, they're attending industry events that are related to your niche market. Yeah. But, you know, that has its limits. And then, but you're going to use that to get kind of generate that minimum viable audience, and you're going to use that to generate your leads initially. But then you're going to exhaust that at some point. At that point, though, you do have some results that you can show to Facebook, and then you let Facebook's AI take over. And this is where, you know, if you've generated 100 leads or 1,000 leads already, you know, I read a stat somewhere that Facebook has 450,000 data points on each profile user in their system. And so they can take those 1,000 leads and look at the 450,000 data points on all of those people, build its own sort of logic and profile on who to target, and then it can go and cherry pick the people that are most likely going to convert. And then that's where a campaign sort of goes in phases. It starts off being sort of okay, and maybe it meets KPI, maybe it doesn't, and then it matures and it gets better. And then once you get enough data points where the AI can kick in, it can go from good to great, because now, you know, the AI, the Facebook system is cherry picking people in a way that you could never figure out in a million years in your mind. You have to use that system. So, you know, you're investing in building that audience, getting those first few leads. That's going to give Facebook the data that it needs to be able to take this campaign to the next level.
Yeah, for sure. That's a good point. And so we've put together, we have like a calculator now that we use to help somebody figure out what their budget should be if they're going to jump into paid ads. How much of that budget should go to audience growth? How much of it can go to lead generation and client acquisition type of ads, and how to spend that money in phases, like depending on how big your audience is now. Some of you may have an audience that you've built through content. Some of you may have several thousand or tens of thousands of visitors to your website. So you could turn on a retargeting campaign right now and get some extra leads. But for those of you that need to be growing your audience and keep that growth happening at the same time as you're generating leads from that audience, you know, there's a way to structure that and to budget that. So if you want to talk to us, just reach out. We can work through that budget planning for you for your campaign. We'd be happy to do that. And I just want to wrap up with the message of that you don't have to rely 100% on paid ads to cold traffic, but you also don't have to be a content creator that just keeps building your audience organically and doesn't want to spend money on advertising. Like, let's bring these two worlds together. When you bring these two worlds together, what happens is you speed up the growth of your audience. It even gives you more data, because when you put out a video and instead of 20 people watching the video, get 2,000 people to watch it and see what kind of feedback and response you get, right? It'll help you be a better content creator because you're actually getting feedback from a larger audience, right? So we can speed up your audience growth and also get you an immediate return on investment, because there's some ad budget being spent on grabbing leads and sales from your audience, like in the short run. And then in the long run, if you're repurposing this content, if it is being used as, if these videos are becoming articles for your blog, or you're putting them on YouTube and you're growing your social media followings, then, you know, 6 to 12 months from now, you'll have a lot of organic traffic as well, because you have all of this content that you've published online. So you will get some organic traffic in the long run. But in the short run, let's take control of growing your audience, put some money behind it, and get you the ROI now, but also the ROI in the future. So we can play the short game and the long game simultaneously, essentially.
Absolutely. And I think what we've talked about here today is that there's a place for the content, the long game, investing in SEO, but also the Facebook or any sort of paid advertising to get that instant traffic. And it's really the best of both worlds. You do the instant stuff, especially when you're just starting out, but over time, that consistency with publishing content, you're going to start getting more and more organic traffic as well. And if both are working for you, then you continue to do both for the long term.
And here's the cool thing too, is you'll get an immediate ROI. Let's say a small percentage of your leads book a call and buy your stuff. Well, guess what? All the ones that didn't, you have on your newsletter. So even if you know you're bringing in 100 leads a week, let's say, with your campaign, and only 5 of them become clients, that's 95 prospects you have on an email list now that you can nurture with your content until they eventually decide that they want to work with you. So you get the ROI right away, but you also set yourself up so that 6 months from now or 12 months from now, you have a bigger database of potential clients that you can share your content with and promote future offers to. So you really get the best of both worlds, because you may eventually reach a point where your list is big enough that you can sell out all your stuff. If you want to do an event, you can sell it out by emailing your list. You want to launch a course, you can sell it out by emailing your list. You may not have to rely on advertising at some point in the future, but for now, to build up the audience, to build up the email list and get you some sales right now, we got to bring those worlds of content creation and ads together. So anyway, I think we'll wrap up there. If you need some help structuring a campaign, putting together a budget for how much you should be spending on promoting content and simultaneously having some lead gen campaigns, just reach out to us. We'd be happy to chat with you. We've got a budget calculator thing we put together. We've got tracking sheets for all this stuff. So feel free to reach out. And if you have any questions, we'd be happy to hear from you. Thanks so much for listening to the Influence on Scale podcast. If you're enjoying the show, make sure you subscribe so you never miss an episode. And for show notes, links to resources mentioned, or to learn about how our agency can help you implement a profitable content marketing strategy, visit influenceandscale.com/podcast.